Welcome to the Grim Leftovers Show with Grimnir every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on RealLibertyMedia.com and RLMRadio.xyz. All right, folks. Hi, howdy. How the hell y'all doing on this Monday, March 9, 2020? Yeah, it's a whole another week rolled on by. We're into episode 62 now of the Grim Leftover Show. Episode 62 here is the 10th show of 2020. And I got some stuff lined up here for you. Hopefully you'll enjoy it all. Find it interesting, at least, at a minimum. If not, it is what it is. I got what I got. It's what I put together for y'all. Anyway, let me say hi and howdy to all the folks out there and all the various places you may be tuned in from, whether that's right here on RealLibertyMedia.com, from either the Grim Leftovers show page or just right there on the sidebar. You got players right there. So howdy to y'all there on RealLibertyMedia.com or those of you on RLMRadio.xyz, because I know there's some of you listening from that area of the interwebs as well. And welcome to those of you over there on freedomsnetwork.com and on realliberty.org. Yeah, a couple of our social networking partner sites. I guess that's the best way to put that, partner sites in those places. So welcome to all yous out there. And for those of you listening later on down the line on the podcasts, howdy, how you doing? Come on over to realliberty.com sometime. Say hi to the people over here in the chat room, because we got a great chat room over here at RealLibertyMedia.com. It's on Freenode, irc.freenode.net, but you can get there that way, or you can come right on over to RealLibertyMedia.com and pop up the chat there and start talking to all these great folks that we got here with us today and most every other day. That's right, we got bots and we got bodies. We got them both. We got bots like Barman and bodies like Beetle and Cowboy Tech. And myself and the Mighty Moose Girl. Mighty Moose Girl got Miss Kate. Yeah, baby. Anti-Chalcedony. Miss Donna Van Meter. Dime Van Meter. Duh, the duster. The neighbor of the moose. They're free enslaved and frumpy and Jabba Doctor. Meister Mooster Brow. The Woodman. Prince. Hey, Prince. How the heck you doing, man? I haven't talked to you too much lately. I know you're around. I see you popping in and out every now and then, but I haven't really spoken with you. Mr. Robworks and the Mighty Bubba and all the fine things going on down there in Arkansas. Rome's, a.k.a. Trust No One. The Vanna White Bot, the Weather Dork Bot, Mr. Vin E. himself. Vinny, how you doing, brother? Are you feeling all right? Are things going your way? Yeah, Vinny's had some interesting stuff going on in his world lately. We got the Phantom, Bruce Dickinson. Not spelled correctly as Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, but still, we got Bruce Dickinson in here. I had no idea. We got Joe Skewer and Cyborg Noodle. E-Man and Siv. A couple of people marked as guests. I think one of those is JJ's. Scotland boy. How you doing over there, JJ's? And I don't know who the other one might be, but whoever you are, welcome to you as well. The Pone Sauce in the Sock Puppet. Smartass. It's a smartass bot. Holiest of Rogers and Mr. Zivix. So all these great and wonderful folks here in the chat right now, welcome to them, one and all. Yeah, I've been kind of slacking on listing off people's names going into my shows, but I did today. So all the folks in the chat anyway. I didn't list all the folks on Freedoms Network or RealLiberty.org or any of those other places. But, okay. We live in this world, this funny ass world, and let me tell you, it's a funny ass world. And I've been hearing little whispers of this term that's been kind of being floated around out there, and at this point in time you probably haven't heard too much of it, but I guarantee you this is going to be a big thing. This is going to be a big phrase, and you're going to hear it and you're going to say, what the hell is that? But see, I and some others have been an expert at this for a long time, even though These morons just came up with this term, oh, about 14 years ago. And when I say these morons, I'm talking about those over there at the CDC. And I think they came up with this phraseology, and, you know, because I never called it that. It was never my purpose to go down this road, to go down this kind of terminology wording road. But they did, because that's who they are. They're the CDC. And it cracked me up as I went to the CDC website. They call themselves the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And then they have a sub tagline there, CDC 24/7, saving lives, protecting people. Now, does anybody actually believe that the CDC has any interest or any desire or any goals towards saving lives or protecting people? I didn't think so. Anyway, I came across this report. Well, I searched out the term, and then I came across this as a report as I was looking for this term here. And it's filed under the research heading on November 2006. Apparently, Volume 12, Number 11, there on the CDC website. Targeting social distancing designs for pandemic influenza. Social distancing. Bury that in your brain. Remember that phrase because, well, you won't have to for very long. It's going to become the main key phrase of all of the clap out there, the corporate lame ass propaganda. This is going to be the thing that they're going to be aiming. And I personally love it because to me, I mean, I've been practicing social distancing, although never called it that, for a long ass time. Basically, it means staying away from people, staying away from other humans. I've recommended this practice to probably everybody I've ever talked to. Well, at least in the last 20 odd years, stay away from people. Humans are bad to be around. They're dirty. They're diseased. They're nasty. Rob Works points out correctly, CDC is a for-profit vaccine company. That is exactly what they are. Well, it goes beyond vaccine, of course, but that is one of their main profit engines right there, is the vaccine industry. But you can go throughout the whole pharma industry and the whole medical industrial complex and see what the CDC is really all about. So anyway, they put up this report here, social distancing targeted social distancing designs for pandemic influenza. Robert Glass, Laura Glass, related probably, Walter Beiler, and H. Jason Min. And interestingly enough, these were done, apparently the affiliations of these authors, Sandia National Laboratories, Albuquerque, Albuquerque Public High School in Albuquerque, New Mexico, U.S. of A., because that's where they did their studies at. Now, to give you the abstract of what they're talking about here, the abstract of the article, research report, targeted social distancing to mitigate pandemic influenza can be designed through a simulation of influenza spread within local community social contact networks. Social contact networks. That means people you see on a regular basis. Social contacts. They call them social contact networks. We demonstrate this design for a stylized community representative of a small town in the United States. The critical importance for children and teenagers in transmission of influenza is first identified and targeted. For influenza as infectious as the 1957-58 Asian flu, around 50% infected, closing schools and keeping children and teenagers at home reduced the attack rate by greater than 90%. For more infectious strains or transmissions that is less focused on the young, adults and the work environment must also be targeted. Targeted! They're targeting you. Tailored to specific communities across the world, such designs would yield local defenses against a highly virulent strain in the absence of vaccine and antiviral drugs. In the absence of vaccines and antiviral drugs. At the start of an influenza pandemic, effective vaccine and antiviral drugs may not be available to the general population, you lowlifes out there, you plebs. If the accompanying illness and death rate of the virus strain are high, how might a community respond to protect itself? Closing roads, restricting travel, and community-level quarantine, self-quarantine, lock yourselves and your homes, will enter discussions. However, within a community, influenza spreads from person to person through the social contact network. Therefore, understanding and strategically controlling this network during a period of a pandemic is critical. Yes, critical. we describe how social contact network-focused mitigation can be designed. At the foundation of the design process is a network-based simulation model for the spread of influenza. And you are nothing but a little icon, maybe not even that. You might just be a pixel within their simulation. You are a disease vector, and they need to figure out how to mitigate your effects on this social contact network to prevent you from spreading whatever it is you have or may get via your social contact network to prevent you from furthering the... Well, most of the maps show that people that are infected are in red. So, and for to prevent you from spreading the red, closing roads, restricting. Oh, I already read that part, didn't I? Well, I'm reading it again. Closing roads, restricting travel, and community level quarantine will enter discussions. However, anyway, therefore, understanding the strategically controlling this network during a period of pandemic is critical. Strategically controlling you. We describe how social contact network-focused mitigation can be designed. At the foundation of the design process is a network-based simulation model for the spread of influenza. Works just as well for corona, don't it? We apply this model to a community of 10,000 persons connected within an overlapping, stylized social network representative of a small United States town. After study of the unmitigated transmission of influenza within the community, we change the frequency of contact within the targeted groups and build combinations of strategies that can contain the epidemic. So they modify your behavior until it fits their model, which, according to them, based upon their model, slows down, prevents, puts a halt to the spread of whatever it is they're designing their model for. Finally, we show how ineffectivity of the strain and underlying structure of the infectious contact network influences the design of social distancing strategies. Social distancing. In the absence of vaccine and antiviral drugs, designed for specific communities would defend against highly virulent influenza. They are going to design you. They're going to design your network. They're going to force you to behave in a way that fits their model. Not that their models are right, or that any of these pre-planned scientific models are ever right, just look at the whole global warming nonsense. If you want to see how badly flawed models are, not only just do they put a model up there, they pump it with the data they want to be in there, not the predicted actual outcome, but their desired outcome. That's how they do these things. Methods. The design process first creates an explicit social contact network in which persons, that's a legal term, by the way, are linked to others in a community. Spread of influenza within a network is then simulated by imposing behavioral rules for persons, their links, and the disease. These rules are modified to implement targeted mitigation strategies within the community, the effectiveness of which is evaluated. The contact network. The network is created by specifying groups of given sizes or range of sizes within which persons of specific ages interact, like schools, households, clubs. The average number of links per person within the group is also specified because cliques form or are imposed, seating in a classroom, stuff like that. This number is used to construct with a within-group network, so groups within groups, that can take various forms. We use fully connected random or ring networks for each group. Random networks are formed by randomly choosing two persons within the group and linking them. This process is repeated until the number of links within the group yields the specified average. Each person will have a different number of links. The ring is formed by first placing persons next to neighbors and linking them to form a complete circle. Some of this, you know, it may be a little dry, a little boring, a little, what do I care about this kind of stuff for non-data folk, but for data people. If you're a data person out there, raise your hand. Anyway, for data people, it's fascinating, although flawed, highly flawed, but still fascinating. Additional links are then made to the next nearest neighbor symmetrically around the ring. Finally, links within the group are given an average frequency of contact per day. With this approach, a network can be built from the experience of community members to exhibit the clustered yet small world characteristics and overlapping quality of structured community. All right, let me just jump on down here to another part. Behavioral rules. The spread of influenza within the contact network is modeled as a series of two classes of events: transition of a person between disease states and a person-to-person transmission of influenza. Disease state transition follows the natural history of influenza. After the latent state, an infected person transitions to an infectious pre-symptomatic state or an infectious asymptomatic state, with the probability PS1 or PS respectively. Those with symptoms either stay home with probability PH. There's some mathematical stuff going on here that you probably don't need to know about. Thus influencing their contacts or continue to circulate with probability. Infected asymptomatic persons continue interacting without behavioral changes because they're infected and they're able to spread the disease, but they don't yet know they have it. So they're interacting with other folks without behavioral changes. Persons who are symptomatic die or become immune with a probability of PM or 1 minus PM, respectively. And asymptomatic persons become immune, well, at least they do with the flu, not so much with the corona, because the final transition does not influence the spread of the disease. We use PM equals zero. All right, person-to-person transmission events are evaluated at the beginning of each period during which a person is infectious, assuming contact events are statistically independent. Why would you make that assumption? When you make that assumption that contact events are statistically independent and you put that into your algorithm, that's nuts. But they did. A transmission time for each infectious person links within the contact network is chosen from an exponential distribution with a mean of the link's contact frequency scaled by, and they got a whole formula there, is ineffectivity of the disease, is the relative ineffectivity of the disease state, is the susceptibility of the disease. Now, I know they designed this, I know they designed all of this specifically for the flu, and it doesn't work for the flu. It's certainly not going to work for something like corona, because corona behaves quite differently than what the way the flu is, the way the flu goes. You can see that. Anyway, so scrolling on down, getting to the discussion portion here. Results for our stylized small town suggest that targeted distancing strategies can be designed to effectively mitigate the local progression of pandemic influenza without the use of vaccine or antiviral drugs. Infectivity similar to that of the 1957-58 Asian influenza pandemic, targeting children and teenagers, but not only closing schools, but also by keeping these age classes at home, was effective. However, given uncertainty of the infectivity of the influenza strain, underlying social contact network or relative infectivity susceptibility of the young versus adults, planning to implement strategies that also target adults and the work environment is prudent. Prudent. To mitigate a strain with infectivity similar to that of the 1918-1919 Spanish flu pandemic, simulation suggests that all young and adults must be targeted. You must be targeted, regardless of the likelihood enhanced transmission by the young. You will be targeted. For what? Social distancing. Right now, they're putting it out there as this is a fine idea. This is a good way for you to protect yourself. And we'll do it in a targeted way to start. You know, they're closing the schools, various places. They're closing other public venues, South by Southwest, other places. The Irish government said today that there will be no St. Patrick's Day parades. All kinds of people all around the world, governments around the world, closing down various public venues. And certain employers also doing this social distancing, closing, telling all their employees, well, not all their employees, just the white collar ones, to work from home. You blue collar people, you need to keep coming in because, well, you know, you're easily replaceable. We don't need you. We can get some other schlub to do this when you die from being here and being infected in our plant, but we need you to be here to put our products together and do our shipping and receiving. But all the people that are up there in the office jobs, they can work from home. You little low-paid scumbags, you keep on coming in because we need our stuff built. Implementation of social distancing strategies is challenging. They likely must be imposed, soak that word in, for the duration of the local epidemic and possibly until a strain-specific vaccine is developed and distributed. And what did they tell you? 18 months before that happens, at least? If compliance with strategy is high over this period, an epidemic within a community can be averted. However, if neighboring communities do not use these interventions, infected neighbors will continue to introduce influenza and prolong the local epidemic, albeit at a depressed level more easily accommodated by healthcare systems, or death care systems, as the case may be. Our design approach explicitly implements disease-host interaction. Disease-host. You could be both. You could be the disease and the host of the disease. You are part of the disease. You are being treated, according to this report, which will be implemented soon. It's already underway. You will be treated as a pathogen. You are a pathogen, and you must be controlled. All right, I lost my spot. So, within the communities for spread of infectious disease requires focused research that combines sociology, public health, and epidemiology. Such networks will likely differ across cultures, between urban and rural communities, and with community size. With the aid of detailed demographic data, expert elicitation of social scientists, don't y'all just love them, and community members, behavioral surveys, and possibly experiments. A network could be constructed for any community of interest. I'll let you, there's a ton more in this article that I skipped over, but I'll let you read it if you don't mind going to a .gov website. Yeah, it's on the CDC.gov website there. But let me tell you, social distancing, that's a term, that's a phrase, that's coming your way, and it's coming to you big time. Yes, indeedy. I personally love it, though. I mean, social distancing to me, I live the hermit lifestyle. And I know there are some others here in the chat, at least, that do as well. And I know plenty of you out there in the world, I guess, also tend to avoid folks. And I admire you for that. People tend to be problems. People tend to be... You know, I just find it's better to socially distance myself. All right. So this article came out just a few days ago, but I brought it up here because it's on the social distancing .com website, statnews.com website. And it's, to fight coronavirus spread, the United States may expand social distancing measures. Social distancing measures, but it comes at a cost. Canceling large public gatherings, asking students to stay at home from school, closing down borders. We ain't never closed the freaking borders yet. You think you can now? Anyway, many places around the world have already implemented such drastic steps in response to the new coronavirus outbreak that originated in China, or originated in Canada and was shipped to China, but yeah, that's a whole other story, and has spread to at least 27 territories. I think it's over 100 countries now it's supposed to be in, outside of China. If the United States, which has 11, this is not that long ago, 11 cases, I think the United States is, 500 cases now? Anyway, 11 cases so far, begins to see sustained human-to-human transmission, health officials may also have to rapidly step up their own use of social distancing measures to prevent further spread. Just last week, the United States reported the first case of human-to-human transmission, where an Illinois woman in her, Illinois, excuse me, woman in her 60s who had traveled to Wuhan passed on the virus to her husband, who had not traveled with her. And late Sunday night, officials in California reported another such case, a 57-year-old man recently returned from China, and he and his wife, who did not travel to China, are now both sick with the virus. Public health officials were quick to point out that the threat to the United States still remains low. Is that the case today? I mean, what, 6 days later in this article? The virus, 6 days, right? This is, oh, no, this is February 3rd, not March 3rd. Okay, so a month and 6 days. I know, things are happening fast, though. Boom, 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 boom. So this is February 3rd. Okay, I don't know why I read that as March 3rd, but whatever. Public health officials were quick to point out that the threat to the United States still remains low. This virus is not spreading widely across the community at this time. Too bad, so sad. Dr. some name I can't pronounce, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, told reporters last week, adding, "We are not recommending people in the general public take additional precautions, such as canceling activities or avoiding going out of their homes." They are now. They are now. But officials there and elsewhere in the U.S. are already thinking ahead, yeah, a month ahead, for when they may have to put into place larger directives in communities to stop the spread of the virus, especially as the nature of the outbreak, which has infected more than 17,000 people, oh, it's well over 100,000 now, and killed more than 360, that's what, 4,000 plus, is changing rapidly. So there you go, over tenfold in a month on both of those numbers. Already, federal health officials took the rare step last week of quarantining all 195 American citizens evacuated from Wuhan, China, where the outbreak is believed to have originated. Well, that's where they started spreading it. Whether it originated there or not is, again, a question for a different time. Dr. Nancy Messonnier, director of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Disease, said the agency is preparing as if this is the next pandemic. Good on ya! Hey, how about that? Yeah, you're getting that social distancing going, aren't ya? If we take strong measures now, too late, so bad, we may be able to blunt the impact of the virus on the U.S. Late Friday, the federal government also declared a national public health emergency and issued a ban on foreign nationals traveling to the United States from China, and several other nations. Now, other social distancing steps, the United States has already began taking include airport screenings in 20 different cities, and isolating sick patients, which the United States has employed on a smaller scale. Isolating someone who is sick is very standard practice, said Dr. Ashisha Jha, a public health researcher at Harvard, some kind of school of public health there. Anyway, just bear in mind this here, because they are, as I said, this is just over a month ago, and things have changed dramatically in that time since that article came out. yes, things have changed dramatically. The social distancing is coming your way. Whether you agree to it or not, whether you voluntarily do it or not, there will be directives coming at you. And I kind of look forward to seeing. And it's easy for somebody like me that lives in a little tiny town with not too many people in it. I could walk up and down the street all day and never bump into anybody. But you people that live in the cities where you got to fight the crowds and go in there and deal with folk. How are you going to do it? I mean, if you want to continue living a semi-normal life, you're not going to be able to because people are going to be avoiding you or trying to avoid you, and you're going to be trying to avoid them. It's going to be humorous from my perspective. Probably not yours if you're living in the city, but it's going to be fun to watch that, seeing people just doing as much as they possibly can to avoid each other. But the reactions that we're seeing around the world from this pandemic, should I put it that way, are nothing short of massively entertaining. However, even though that be the case, and you see people out there doing some of the crazy things they're doing, you have to take note of that, because those crazy actions could come to affect you directly. For example, if you're used to going down to the grocery store and buying certain items at a regular time, you may not be able to get some because all the rest of the people in your community freaked out and went down there and just bought up everything, as this article says, which was posted today on ZeroHedge.com. Never seen anything like it! As virus cases surge, Americans are panic hoarding supplies. Panic hoarding. Oh, yeah. As confirmed U.S. cases soar above 500 this past weekend, Americans made a mad dash to Costco stores across the country to hoard food, water, and disinfectants. The Baltimore Sun reports that some Maryland shoppers spent most of the weekend panic buying supplies at big box retailers as 6 confirmed cases were reported in the area. The Sun interviewed shoppers across the Baltimore-Washington metropolitan area that loaded up on supplies amid pandemic fears. The BJ's Wholesale Club. You can get BJ's on wholesale? Wow. All right, BJ's Wholesale Club in Canton, Harris Teeter in Canton, crossing the Whole Foods and Inner Arbor experienced a surge in shoppers on Saturday and Sunday. I'm always prepared, Denise Cox told the Sun at Harris Teeter in Canton Crossing Saturday morning. She spent the last several weeks buying water, Clorox wipes, Lysol spray, and bleach. When I bought this bleach, Corona was in my thoughts. Did you buy any Corona? And also, if you're always prepared, why are you panic buying? In Ruxton, Maryland, a wealthy suburb of Baltimore City, Growl's Market reported a run by locals who wiped out their supply of sanitizer items, Clorox wipes, and canned products. I've never seen anything like it, said Assistant Manager Jeff Major, who has worked for the grocery store for nearly 2 decades. Major said the store purchased several cases of Purell hand sanitizer last Wednesday, and it was sold out by that evening. I think rubbing alcohol will be the next thing to go, General Manager Tom Gilbert said. Fingers crossed we'll have hand sanitizer by March 15th. Just don't touch anybody until then. Sandy Pierce spent her weekend driving around the Baltimore metropolitan area, going from store to store in search of disinfectants such as Lysol and Clorox. Pierce went to 9 stores on Saturday, telling the Sun that disinfectants were all sold out everywhere. However, she hit the jackpot at Walgreens on York Road, where she found a 12-ounce can of Lysol spray for $8, marked up well over 100%. Walgreens gouging, doubling the price of their Lysol spray. She said Amazon was all sold out of disinfectants, which forced her to spend the weekend searching for virus prevention products at brick-and-mortar stores. Amazon is not sold out in disinfectants. I don't know what you were looking for up there, lady, but they're all over the place and they're at reasonable prices. Anyway, the last time I saw this was the last big snowstorm, Pierce said. Before it was bread, now it's germ virus killers. Rod Hall, store manager at Dollar General in Baltimore City, said someone walked into his store and bought hundreds of dollars of disinfectants last week. It was Clorox. It was Lysol. It was the store brand. He didn't care, Hall said. He explained the man wiped the store shelves clean. I'm pretty sure it was for business. He said his store is out of hand sanitizer, rubbing alcohol, and surgical masks. Anyway, it goes on and on. They have a map here showing the virus hotspots around the country, and you can guess where it is. It's New York, it's King County, Washington, it's Santa Clara, California, it's Los Angeles. It's, you know, these places that are dirty anyway. President Trump is well aware of the situation and panic across America. Trump said Monday that nothing is shut down. Wrong. Life in the economy go on. Wrong. Trump administration is absolutely terrified that they cannot control the narrative of the greatest economy ever as virus surges, cases surge across the country. Oh, this is also highly amusing, entertaining, just delightful to see. Just delightful to see. Because anything that keeps people away from you is a bonus, in my view. Now, I know I have to go from my house to, like, the post office to pick up my mail on occasion. Once a week, something like that, whatever. I don't have to pick it up too often. I've got an oversized box. But when I do that, should I be, like, all wrapped up in plastic and sprayed down with anti-whatevers? No, I'm just going to walk in there, open my box, get my stuff, and leave. I go there, always have gone there anyway, after hours, so there's not the crowd of people in there. Not like there's ever really a crowd of people in there, but sometimes there's four or five people in there if you go there during peak business hours. But one of the funnest things, one of the funnest parts of all this going on, and I say that, well, because I mean it. Because I really have been waiting for this for a long time. Now, how far it'll go, I don't know. But we saw today, we saw today, 2,000 point drop on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. 2,000. Plus, 2020 or something like that, right around there. Anyway, last week, there was plenty of days down by several percentage points, 2-3 percentage points. Today was the biggest one. Oh, yeah, by far the biggest one. And this article is called Black Monday Part 2. Part 2. The return of Black Monday. At its lows today, this was the market's biggest down day since 1987. By the close, the biggest since 2018. I'm not sure where, anyway. In reflection of the total loss of faith by policymakers among buy the fucking dippers, Sentiment Trader notes that this is the only day in the history of the S&P 500 futures that they gapped down more than negative 5% and didn't close above the open. Did the 11-year-long, almost unstoppable bull run that started on March 9th, 2009, 11 years ago, just end on March 9, 2020, 11 years to the day? Here's another stat for the record books. Total U.S. trading volume on a 10-day moving average basis is now higher than during the meltdown in 2008. Volume is another whopper at over 17 billion shares. Thanks to the market perceiving President Trump's response as remaining to be one of denial. I just thought it was delusion. Maybe it's denial. I think he is delusional, but maybe it's denial. Of the scale of the problem and concerns that fiscal stimulus will be underwhelming, things are already anxious as markets open Sunday night. But the situation was worsened considerably as both Russia and Saudi Arabia stood poised to flood the market with cheap crude oil in an all-out price war, just as the coronavirus is spurring the first contraction in demand since 2009. The situation we are witnessing today seems to have no equal in the oil market, according to Fatabaral. A combination of massive supply overhang and a significant demand shock at this same time. Oil futures fell by about one-third in New York and London on Monday, the biggest drop since the Gulf War of 1991, before pulling back to a 20% decline. Yeah. Yeah, this is it's amazing and interesting and fun to watch. See, the thing is, since China, not in totality, but a lot of what the stuff, you know, most of the stuff for American manufacturing, and I put American manufacturing in air quotes there, because it's American assembly. We don't really do manufacturing here. but all those parts come from China. And a lot of the supply lines, a lot of the companies that ship those various parts are not shipping. They're not allowed to ship. They're being prevented from shipping. So the supply lines for the manufacturing processes are cut off. So what is going to, until those things are opened back up and people, companies or corporations are allowed to once again start getting whatever it is they need from China, this is going to be a problem. Oh, boy. That's terrific. Kate just posted a link there in the chat. Tampa Strip Club offers face masks to customers to fight the spread of coronavirus. Yeah. That's terrific. Anyway, so what's going to turn this around? I really don't know. If there's anything that's really going to turn it around. But what is really going on, though? Is this a thing or is it not a thing? I don't know. On the website, Moon of Alabama posted on February 8, 2020, so a month ago, this article came out. The epidemic recedes. Number of new coronaviruses in decline. A month ago, number of new coronaviruses in decline. Well, I guess he was wrong. According to the guy, though. I don't see a name on here. He didn't post a name. Or did he? No, he didn't. All right, no name. All right, anyway, the novel coronavirus, NCOV-19, epidemic is a receding danger, but its effects will stay with us for some time. In general, from the Caixin report, C-A-I-X-I-N report, in general, with the increase in isolation, social distancing, and treatment work, the number of new suspected cases nationwide has decreased, and the number of new confirmed cases outside of Hubei has fallen for four consecutive days. The situation of the new coronavirus epidemic situation may have improved. On the 7th, the first confirmed case appeared in only one city, and the number of newly cured cases They put cured in air quotes as well. Cured cases exceeded the number of new deaths for 9 consecutive days, indicating that the epidemic was under control. Now, again, how true was that? I'm going to have to say, not very. The next day after that, February 9th, the next day after that, came this article posted on ZeroHedge.com. The death rate is up to 5%. The harrowing admission of a Wuhan doctor, frontline coronavirus doctor, who I think is dead now, tells of life and death in the ICU. In the coronavirus epidemic, doctors on the front lines take on the greatest risk and best understand the situation. Dr. Pen Xiong, director of acute medicine in the Wuhan University South Central Hospital, is one of those doctors. In an interview on Tuesday with Cakes and Dr. Peng, described his personal experiences in first encountering the disease in early January and quickly grasping its virulent potential and the need for stringent quarantine measures. As the contagion spread and flooded his ICU, the doctor observed that 3 weeks seemed to determine the difference between life and death. Patients with stronger immune systems would start to recover in a couple of weeks, but in the second week, some cases would turn for the worse. In the third week, keeping some of those acute patients alive might require extraordinary intervention. For this group, the death rate seems to be 4% to 5%, Dr. Peng said. After working his 12-hour daytime shifts, the doctor spends his evening researching the disease and has summarized his observations in a thesis. The doctors and nurses in his hospital are overwhelmed with patients. Once they don protective hazmat suits, they go without food, drink, and bathroom breaks for their entire shift. That's because there aren't enough of the suits for a mid-shift change, he said. This is a month ago. This is a month ago. So if it was 5%, and because they're reporting it's around that now, it's bounced around from 2 to 5%, but it's all kind of amazing of what this is this something or isn't it? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Well, what matters, what really matters, is the reactions from the people out there, from the governments, from the regular folk on the street, from the people on your social media sites, just everywhere is the reactions from the people freaking out and panic buying all this stuff. The stock markets just taking these massive dives over the last couple of weeks, to the companies shutting down events and their companies sending their people to work from home, schools shutting down, keeping all the kids out. Kids aren't even getting sick. They may be carrying the disease, but they're not getting sick from it. Just so many various different things, these reactions of people. And if the reactions get worse, I don't know about whether anything will actually happen from this disease, although it spreads very easily. It's not, at this point, harming a lot of folks, at least not harming a lot of folks under the age of 60. You may get sick for a while and then you get better. anyway, just watching all this is something to behold. The true nature of humans and the way they are. Humans are, I'm not sure who said it, might have been Carlin. Humans are panicky in groups. Humans, as a group, they're panicky. Individuals, normally, you can deal with on a pretty rational basis. Normally. Of course, we've known plenty, each of us, have known people that are not. You cannot deal with on a rational basis. They are just freaked the fuck out. And, anyway. So, I'll keep watching this. I know this is kind of a different leftovers show than I normally do. But, yeah. All right. We're going to give you something else here. I'm totally not on this. Very easily. Vincified. Something totally not on the having anything to do with Corona, but having to do with people just being stupid. And that is from California. It says, this is on Reason.com, by the way, posted on February 5th. In California, protecting workers means outlawing their jobs. Assembly Bill 5 was designed to constrain the growth of the so-called gig economy. In practice, it's closing off opportunities. Now, I say this has nothing to do with the coronavirus, although, from stuff I've read today and over recent days, it does actually have something to do with Corona. I'll get to that in a minute. As a freelancer, I have the flexibility to do work while I'm at school or do work late at night or, you know, not that work week stuff because I'm busy. A journalist or a graduate student at Pepperdine University told Reason in late 2019. On January 1st, 2020, earning extra cash got a lot more difficult. California Assembly Bill 5 was designed to constrain the growth of so-called gig economy based upon the theory that companies like Uber, Lyft, and Postmates are taking advantage of contract labor. I am unfamiliar with Postmates. Sounds like something to do with the mail. Maybe they deliver your mail for you. I don't know. however, today I did read that Uber and Lyft are both now going to provide to their contractors, their independent contractors, pay if they are told not to work over the coronavirus, meaning that it's coming, that they're going to be told not to work because of the coronavirus. So they're somehow going to pay their drivers, their independent contractor drivers, which deserve no sick pay of any kind, but they're going to go ahead and pay them because they've kind of been pressured into it. Any of these companies that are hiring you as an independent contractor, you get nothing. That's it. You're an independent contractor. You supply all your own stuff. Dozens of professions, including many jobs in healthcare, commercial fishing, grant writing, hairstyling, and fine arts, are exempt from the law. Journalists were allotted a partial exemption of 35 submissions per year per client. Anyway, so this new law in California is really going to screw over these people that are trying to live in a gig economy by doing gig work. Because a lot of these companies are just going to say, well, shit, if we got to pay you, you're no longer contracting for us. You just get the hell out. we don't need you. I mean, if we're going to start hiring people to be drivers, first off, you're going to make less per drive, and because we got to pay, you know, for benefits, you ain't getting that kind of money anymore. And mostly, also, it'll be, we don't need you. We'll get the people that we hire to work more on a regular schedule. All right. Well, that's that for that. thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Like I said, I know it's a different kind of leftovers show today, but I had to talk about the social distancing. I think it's an important thing for everybody to realize what's coming up the pike here really quick. Social distancing by fiat. They're going to shove it down your throat. They are going to force people into social distancing, whether that be by edict or by trying to, if you see somebody out on the street, looking out your window, you can shame them in some manner. I don't know how they're going to do it, but it's coming, and it's coming pretty soon. And hooray for that. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'll be back next week with another episode of Grandma Leftovers. With any luck, unless I get virus stricken. All right. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern, will be the In a Perfect World show. It's normally 3 p.m. Eastern. However, over there where Flash lives, they haven't changed the time yet. So for him to stay on his normal schedule, we'll adjust our side of the pond schedule, and we'll do it an hour early. Yeah, gotta keep them separated. So he'll be on at 2 p.m. tomorrow, and we'll see what happens there. Check the schedule on reallibertymedia.com for all the rest of the shows throughout the week. And you all have yourselves a great week. Stay away from people! Peace!